Doug Whaley not on a fan hotline, although that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. He's here in the flesh, in studio. How we doing, Doug?
Doing great, and I do have to reiterate what The Rock said. We, in the media, and fans and everything, were just lambasting Rowdy Tellez. We do not give enough credit when things turn around, especially for the front office of the Pirates, Shelton, the manager, to stay with him. So we got to give not only Rowdy credit, but also say, hey, sometimes if you give a little patience and just wait and belief, and that's one of those things where if you believe in a guy, even when it's struggling, and an athlete, that may help precipitate that turnaround. So I'm just saying that was a great point brought up by The Rock, and I reiterated. And I had actually, I went to 3 out of 4 or 5 games this weekend, and I actually put it in my phone to bring that up too. And I'm glad he brought it, and so I can just co-sign on that.
You know what, man? What's fascinating there is I wonder how close to the cut line he was.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder, were they a game away? Were they a series away? Were they 2 series away? Like, how close were they to pulling the ripcord on him? And now he has been, if it's not Brian Reynolds, and it probably is, he's been their second best player on a month and 10 days now.
Not only how close, but what precipitated the patience? What were they seeing that said, let's hold on for a little bit, maybe a little longer, maybe a little longer to turn around? Well, those are the type of questions I'd like to ask Starkey next time you have him on.
Well, so with you, right? I mean, football's different. Like, especially back then, like the trade deadline wasn't like this huge deal like it can sort of be now. Like, it was more about just demoting guys on the depth chart, right? I mean, was it different for every guy? Are there certain things you're looking for?
And we talked about this off the air. It's not only what they're doing on the field, but what's going on around them. What's going on with their home life? What's going on outside of football that may be affecting their play on the field, whatever field it is, or court? And that's the type of stuff that and information a lot of us in the media and fans aren't privy to. Maybe he's dealing with a mom that has terminal cancer or something like that, or she is going through some finance, whatever. There's things that affect people and normal people in their job. There's going to be things that affect professional athletes, but their job's just going to be really highlighted and for everybody to see. So when their performance isn't up to snuff, people are just going to think, oh, he's just a bad player. He's a bum and he just stinks. He just stinks all of a sudden. No, there's things that affect. So that would be the question I'd like to ask Derek Shelton. Like, all right, what precipitated the patience? And how close, like you said, were you to be like, all right, let's pull the ripcord?
Are things like, this situation in sports psychology, is that why sports psychology is so much bigger now than it ever has been? I mean, you could learn information about things in the day-to-day of somebody by sports psychology. And now that's implemented into a lot of players' training.
No doubt.
In the offseason, too.
And if you think about it, the strongest muscle and most powerful muscle in your body is your brain. Why wouldn't you train that? Why not? You train all the other muscles, and in a lot of sports, a majority, even when you talk about golf, it's 90% mental. And a lot of sports, it's, if not 50, more than 50% mental. So why wouldn't you train that and try to put it at the optimal level so you can take use of all the physical abilities? So that's why, and I'm glad that it's getting into sports. I just think it was so late and overlooked, and I don't know why.
Well, even think about a guy like Mitch Keller, who, I mean, the start of his career was no good, and now he's arguably should be an all-star, and he turned his life around, at least his playing life around. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So John Parato from Pittsburgh Baseball Now, he reported he talked to a source within the Pirates front office that was irritated with the comments Bob Nutting made a couple of weeks ago. Bob Nutting saying, yeah, we should be active. We could be active early. And this source basically saying, yeah, but we weren't given the go-ahead to spend the money. So, I mean, Doug, what is that give and take like? Where you're dealing with ownership, you're dealing with coaches, you're dealing with different front office executives, and trying to do what's best for your football club, for your sports organization, while also knowing there are things you're going to have to do that you wouldn't want to do.
Right. And that's where a lot of times when you look at moves by a GM or an organization, we on the outside just look at it black and white. Mm-hmm. Like, why'd you pick that? There are a lot of dynamics that have to play into making that decision. One, all right, what's the owner's mandate? Is the owner's mandate, let's save money and just be competitive, but hey, by the way, when I get out here, I'm just going to say something different. What's the manager's or the coach's thought process? Well, I kind of like this guy, or hey, he wasn't my pick, so I'm not going to give him a chance, but let's try to find somebody that we both agree on. And then the team dynamic. And even when you look at the president every time, not every time, once in a while, you'd have to start thinking about the business side. Like, okay, what are we going to throw a no, perfect example, are you going to throw a no trade clause in a new contract for a person? Let's think about Sidney Crosby. If they ink that deal and there's a no trade clause, then everybody's going to be like, oh, what's up in arms? There might be other things going on around there that put that precipitate those decisions. And it's not always just pick the best player or the player that you think fits the best on your team.
It's funny that this, you know, well, it's not funny, but it's funny in the way that this
not
article.
Not funny,
right, that this article came out and it's like, oh my goodness, look at this. But we also kind of understand it, but it's such a big deal that we're talking about it today. And then you fly about 3.5 hours to Texas, to Dallas, and Jerry Jones, this is every day for their organization. Like Jerry Jones, you know what I'm saying? Like Jerry Jones is going out there and saying whatever, and I'm pretty sure that McCarthy and everybody in the organization is like, what are we doing here?
No doubt.
So this does happen a lot. It just, I do wonder how, you know, one, we talked about the dynamic initially, but now what is the dynamic going to be after something like that comes up between Charrington, Nutting, and Shelton? How do you get back on the same page?
Yeah. And that's why when I, after stepping back and just thinking about it, when you hear the word general manager, you are really just generally managing personalities and trying to get all those personalities on the same agenda going forward to try to accomplish the same goals. So you're a master psychologist. You're a shrink. And what you have to do, and I learned this from Kevin Colbert, and it's making sure you understand what people like to do and try to accomplish their goals, and then try to get them to see ways that they can accomplish those goals with those same thought process in a way that's going to be complementary to winning games and making your competitive program. So what's that like? That's like, okay, we need to get Nutting, Charrington, and Shelton all in the same room and be like, okay, I know I said this, but what's our marching orders? And if what's our marching orders, what are we going to have to back that up? What's the financial commitment? You said one thing. Now if you're telling us different, then you got to get the PR guy in there to start being able to publicly spin that thing to say, well, yeah, he said this, but he meant this, and we're going to do this. So there's just, again, you're just managing personalities, managing situations, and putting out fires.
And I said this earlier in the show, and I'm not regretting it, but I'm looking at a real live human being here that I really like, and Doug Whaley. I said, there's still no excuse for Ben Charrington. Like, whatever the parameters are, you still got to make the team better. Like, when I worked at my old place, might have been a certain organization in town that was in bed with my old place that would put their thumb on you on, hey, you know what you said the other day? That might have been a step too far. Basically, don't do that crap again.
Right.
But the listener doesn't know that.
No.
You still got to entertain the audience, whatever the parameters are.
Right.
So I look at Ben Charrington and I think, look, you got to roll this Chapman. He's $10.5 million. You're being told maybe, at least according to this article, you can't spend money. All right, move off 10.5 and see if you can get a return in that deal. Like last year, in fact, the Royals traded Chapman and they got Cole Reagans, who was just named to the All-Star team, who's got a 3.28 ERA and 19 starts. Make a deal, get better, then go out and spend some money in another deal. You can still find a way, because that is your job.
Absolutely, and I'm not saying that, but the only thing you have to be careful when you think about that is when the goalposts move.
Right.
If they say, all right, you can do this, but no, you can't do that. Now we're in there, you can't trade Chapman, but we still got to get better. That's where you get really bound up, and then you can make some moves that in the end are look hasty and then end up not working out just because the owner comes in one day, no, we're not going to do it. Or, yeah, we can do it. Or, hey, I like where we are now. Let's go spend money. But you got about $3 million to do it.
When you were, I don't want to put you on the spot, but when you were here, how involved is Art day to day in all that stuff? Or was it just Kevin, Mike, you guys know, go get it done?
Once the season was going on, it was all support to the coaching staff. Because we obviously had our parameters with what we had left in the salary cap. So there wasn't. Now, on the off season, that's when Art is involved in the overall 30,000 foot planning. And then when the final decisions are being made, he's got to give the thumbs up or thumbs down. Which, of course.
Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that, now, I wasn't in on those meetings where it was Coach, Art, and Kevin to say, okay, we talked about the 30,000 foot, but here are the moves we want to make. And then, so I wasn't in on those. But when I was in on those with the owner and the head coach, it was, okay, this is what we want to do. Are you on board? And he might say, well, what about this? Oh, never thought of that. And then maybe we adjust a little bit. Or he's like, okay, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
Or there's a few times like, nah, let's not do it.
Just shoot it down.
Yeah. And then that's when we came up with, okay, let's give him the three best options. And with our ranking, we like this first, second, third. Which are you on board with? And you go with that.
There are people I've been with where no matter the idea, first one's getting shot down.
Yes.
You come out with idea B. Well, that doesn't work. Oh, well, how about, yes, that's wonderful.
Right.
That kind of deal.
And that's where Kevin was saying, well, if you know it's going to be that way, then you go, hey, I know you like smoking cigarettes, but guess what? There's a new thing called vapes out there. You want to try that? It's the same thing. Then it's like, oh, because there's people out there, if they don't think it's their idea, then they're automatically shoot
right,
down.
Right.
So you got to make it like, hey, I know you like this and it's your idea. There's just a little twist on it. And then that's how you have a better chance of men like, yes.
We should probably talk about the Penguins at some point with Doug, too.
For sure.
I think that'd be real good.
For sure.
But let's do the Cam Sutton thing coming up next. Suspended 8 games. What did the Steelers know? When would they have known? And what does this mean for the cornerback room, at least for the first eight games of the season? We'll get to all that with Doug. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. So Cam Sutton gets suspended for 8 games. You think they knew it would be that hefty, Doug? Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock.
I don't think they thought it was going to be that hefty. But then if they really did the research, you can't be surprised.
No, you cannot.
I mean, when your flight, your risk flight and all that stuff, I'll say this. And you know that saying, if you lay down with dogs, you're going to get fleas. Again, they can't be surprised. Now, what's that corresponding move? Are they just going to hold tight? Or are they going to go out and get somebody? And I've said this all the time, and I always preach this. You don't want to have a move that backs you in a corner and just blocks you in. And this one kind of blocked them in. It didn't set them up for the next move. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. And I heard Patrick Peterson out there, great. Now you're sitting there saying, we're just going to get an average guy to hopefully get by. You're not getting better. Now, will they reach out to a Gilmore? Gilmore's going to be like, okay, well, but how much money do you want to spend on a Gilmore?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And if that's the case, why didn't you go out and get him in the first place?
Right. That's kind of my point. Like, I mean, this is the second corresponding move that they haven't made, with Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Like, they still have a receiver spot that they still need to fill, too. So they've made two moves now where they haven't filled the holes, and they're backed into a corner. And if they knew, and they probably knew that this was going to happen, probably right. 4 games. I would right. say, like, around there, four to six, maybe. Yeah. But it's 8 games. So whenever you sign Cam Sutton, why are you waiting so long to backfill Cam right. Sutton? Why didn't you sign Cam Sutton and sign somebody else?
Yes. And you brought it up the other day is – you really, when you got rid of Deontay Johnson, you're really hurting your team without adding back to it. You know, not hawk to it, back to it.
Hawk to it. Well, this predicament does suck.
Yes. So you have two positions that you were thin at already that you've made actually extra thin. And I think they thought 6, get it down to 4. But you still have those four right there.
And you know what? Brian Batko the other day said, well, this is a great situation if you're looking glass half full. You get the young guys like Beanie Bishop, give them their opportunity, sink or swim for the first eight games. If it doesn't work out, all right, Cam Sutton's there. I can't possibly disagree more with that. It does open up an opportunity for those guys, but this is the NFL, and you're trying to win damn football games.
Yep.
And the back half of your schedule sucks. It is hard. It is the hardest in the NFL. You need to make hay in those first eight games. You can't be learning. You got to be winning. You got to have some cushion, knowing that like 500 in the second half is pretty darn good.
No doubt. No doubt. And like you said, take advantage. Steelers schedule, they say it's easy, but we all know once game starts, you don't know who's going to be hot.
Sure.
Who's going to, so every game you got to treat like a playoff game.
Yeah.
You just got to put everything you have out there to be able to compete and to win and play at a high level. And those two moves right there, it almost comes to me like they made those decisions personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we want Deontay Johnson out here because we don't like what he brings to the locker room. We have a backstory with him, Sutton. Let's bring him back. We can save him. Once you start making things personal,
man,
that's not a good thing. And what's the famous saying? It's not personal, it's business. You got to make business decisions, not personal decisions. And those two feel to me more personal than business.
Said that almost exactly yesterday. I forget what I was talking, maybe it was Kabbali. And right when Kabbali left, I was like, you know what? Like, as much of a great job as Omar Khan and Andy Weidel have done, they have done a fantastic job. These two situations with Deontay Johnson and Cam Sutton, I was like, what is it about these two? Why haven't they, cemented these holes? Why have they gotten rid of or taken in certain players? And I was like, oh, I know exactly why. It's Mike Tomlin. Yeah. Mike Tomlin's making these two has made these two decisions. Mike Tomlin feels bad about Cam Sutton. He's comfortable with Cam Sutton, and he knows that he can get him on the right track again.
He
wants to put his arm around him. He knows him very well, knows he can play. And Mike Tomlin's about giving guys opportunities that he knew Cam Sutton would never get another opportunity. Who was the coach that went to Minnesota?
Mike Flores.
Brian Flores. Oh, yeah. Same situation. He was like, I'm going to give you an opportunity because I know you're not going to get one somewhere else. And then, you know what? Here, we'll get you to a place where you can bounce back. That's the situation with Cam Sutton. So that, to me, smells Mike Tomlin. And I think Mike Tomlin was like, get Deontay Johnson out of here. We don't need that type of person on our roster. Those two. And it has backed Omar Khan and Andy Weidel into a corner because Mike Tomlin still has some say in all that stuff. That's my theory.
It's a great take.
A great take, and that's why I say anybody that has questions about how involved Tomlin is, right there.
Yep.
No doubt.
And the just juxtaposing the two situations, too. Like Deontay, first of all, I think is a better player than Cam Sutton, but I do think Cam Sutton's good.
Mm-hmm.
One guy was just a malcontent. The other guy, criminal activity.
Right.
We can deal with the criminal activity so long as you're a good teammate. But if you're a bad teammate and you don't do crap off the field, that's the guy they get out of here. That's kind of nuts to me. But it happens all the time.
All the time. And I think you brought it up as well the other day is Deontay Johnson was malcontent because of the quarterback play. Now you have better quarterbacks, hopefully better quarterbacks. Let's bring him in. And guess what? You may have a better return for him during the preseason if someone gets hurt or during the season he starts putting up numbers. Get rid of him then.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that shows me it was personal, not business.
Absolutely. And you have a new offensive coordinator.
Yes.
You have a new receivers coach, and you have a new quarterback. Why wouldn't you give Deontay Johnson one opportunity in, 4 months in OTAs and in training camp to see if he can actually handle and be different?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but no, you back yourself in a hole and don't even give him a chance. And then now look where you're at. You're listening to talk radio talk about Brandon Ayuk every single day.
Really good talk radio, though. The Deontay Johnson thing, I'm wondering, and I'm just spitballing here, if it has more to do with Pickens than anybody else. Like, we believe in Pickens' unbelievable football talent. We can't have him, who was already teetering last year with the social media stuff, we can't have him go the way of Deontay.
There's not one guy that is bigger than the team on this team. Right. There are guys that are bigger than the team on other teams, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, guys like that. But George Pickens If you focus all your energy on George Pickens and worry about him, you're doing a detriment to the team, yeah. which they have, if that was the case.
Absolutely.
Well, you do also wonder how much Deontay's teammates liked him then, too, and whether or not that was going to be able to be repaired.
Now to circle back around and see how I'm connecting it, that's those other influences on this decisions that we don't know. But we can speculate mm-hmm. that it was a personal decision from Mike Tomlin. There's other things in there that, like you said, maybe malcontent in the locker room, maybe bad influence on George Pickens. Even though I look at it this way, if he is that impressionable, George Pickens, you already got your answer if he's a number one or not. Jerry Rice wasn't impressionable. Michael Irvin wasn't impressionable. Now, Michael Irvin was impressing on other people.
Exactly. Exactly.
But what I'm saying is great players are focused on being great. They don't let any outside or anyone else affect them trying to achieve their goal of being the best. And if George Pickens is that influential and being influenced and it affects him, then you know what type of – he's not a number one. You don't pay him, and you know what you got.
I agree, and I think that they might not. I think it might be Ayuk or Deebo Samuel or whomever, and then he's out after the year. I could see that happening. One more thing, because people have texted in a bunch about this, like the parallels between Cam Sutton and then between Trevor Bauer. One thing I was told about Bauer by somebody who absolutely knows how the Pirates are doing business, someone who knows internally, that, yeah, all the other stuff, bad. He's worse in, well, not worse, given what he was accused of doing. He's bad in the clubhouse.
Oh, got you.
And so it's not just, again, put in quotations, the guy sucks. And so the Pirates nobody wants him, Trevor Bauer. He's got like a 2 ERA in whatever league he's in, with Robinson Cano leading the league and hitting at 41.
And that's what I think about Cam Sutton. He's not that in the locker room. And the Steelers and Mike Tomlin know that he's not that. So that's why they're willing to take a chance on him and to put their arm around him and give him another opportunity.
Right. And you never know, just talking to these guys, but no one ever had a bad word to say about Cam Sutton. Of all the people, not that you'd ever be playing this morbid game, but of all the people to, hey, who do you think would, ..
Right.
He wouldn't have been one of the guys. No. So I'm guessing that's, again, part of the reason why Mike Tomlin wants in. That's a really good thought by you guys. Really is. All right, coming up next, why the hell have the Penguins and Sidney Crosby not come to terms on a contract? This was supposed to happen on July 1st, we were told. We'll get into that with a former GM, Doug Whaley, coming up next. Before we get into a front office conversation about the Penguins with Doug Whaley, our front office expert around here, how about social media's biggest loser, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss? Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Doug, you asked for this, so we got it for you, baby.
Let's do it.
Joe Starkey.
Oh, yes.
Doesn't know about Hawk Tua.
The very beginning with the PM team.
Yeah.
Sex, drugs, and alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Look up Hawk Tua, and the Hawk Tua girl, it'll make a lot more sense.
No, I'm sorry I brought it up, but apparently it's involved here in the Kyle Filipowski situation. Yes, she allegedly put that Hawk Tua on him in high school, and he fell in love. That's what it says on this social media post.
This is so much funnier because you have no idea what it means.
She put that Hawk Tua on him.
Starkey, just so innocent. Well, it has to do with the Kyle Filipowski situation. Anyhow.
All right, yes.
Got our front office expert in here, Doug Whaley. And Doran, you say you brought this up yesterday, and I had not thought about this. That, okay, what if the Sidney Crosby contract negotiations are taking so much longer than we thought? Because what if Sidney Crosby's talking about not having a no-trade clause? Or what if, well, that's probably the only way that would go.
Mm-hmm.
Sid says, okay, I'll stick around for 3 years, but I know how I feel now. Maybe a year from now, I ain't going to feel that way anymore. Or maybe you might not feel that way anymore. I do wonder if that could be it, because I can't think of a reason why it would be 9 days after what we thought was kind of like the presumed day of it all going down, and yet here we are, and we hear it's getting there, but it ain't done yet.
Because you got to think about ownership. Totally different ownership group. You know, it's not Mario Lemieux anymore. It's not, hey, I lived at your house, What is the game plan going forward? What's the mantra of the Pens? Let's win. You're our guy. You're the face. These guys, they don't care. They're looking at the bottom line. What's going to make us the most money? And if Sidney Crosby, if you take this is what we got and take it or leave it, or there's negotiation, or Sidney's like, you're saying, all right, what is your vision for this organization going forward? Are we going to be a competitive franchise, or are you just looking at what can put seats in butts and make money without really investing in a championship-winning team? So it takes both sides to come to an agreement. So there, that's where it might be like, are they both on the same page? Because Fenway Sports Group, they have no allegiance to, think about it, to Pittsburgh, to Sidney Crosby, to the Penguins. They're just an ownership group looking to make straight cash, homie.
And I do think when they purchased the club, they're thinking, we want Crosby here for as long as possible. We want Malkin here. We want Letang here. So you can put seats in butts, as you said, for as long as possible. They can reevaluate on the fly too, though, because I think the fastest way, I'm not saying I would do this. I want Crosby to retire a Penguin. I'm emotional like that. But the fastest way from them getting from where they are to a legitimate championship contender again is to tear it down from the studs, and you get picks, prospects, and do the whole deal. You've talked about that.
Oh, you got to think, and I put myself in Sidney Crosby's shoes, like, what would I be feeling right now? You know, there's one side of the Fenway Sports Group looking at this situation and being like, okay, like, Sidney Crosby puts butts in seats, and we want him as long as possible, and, you know, maybe they've taken advantage of him a little bit and thinking that he wants to retire as a Penguin, so we could just throw anything out there and he'll accept it. But is Sidney Crosby, new ownership, you know, it's about my third or fourth GM, getting older. You know, I want to win a championship. I know that I can get paid somewhere else to win a championship. Right. I know that they'll open the pocketbooks. So if it's about money, if it's about all those things, yeah, like, I would come to the table like, no trade clause. You know, I want to have that in my contract to be able to get traded at some point. And that's probably, in my opinion, what's taking so long.
And I'd like to get, next time you talk to one of your NHL insiders, and the analytics part of it, because I know Fenway Sports Group is heavy on analytics.
Mm-hmm.
What is the analytics saying about Crosby and his play now and maybe next year?
Where it might go
or where, and the impact of trading him, and is his trade value highest now than later? So these are all those things that ownership has to think about, even Kyle Dubas. And that's why I said a long time ago, if I was Kyle Dubas, I would give so much respect to Sidney Crosby and say, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to be here for this rebuild, or do you want to go out and you'll still be beloved in Pittsburgh, go out and try to compete your last 3 or 4 years for a contender? That's just me, because I have that much. But again, that's me being a homer, being a Pittsburgh Penguin fan and everything. Fenway Sports Group is not. They don't have ties. This is a business. They're looking straight. Unlike the Steelers and Tomlin, they're looking straight business decision.
Well, and so now that makes me think, because the texter brings up, and it's a good point, if Crosby wanted to, he could always waive a no-trade clause. Maybe they want it in. Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Well, no, that's what we were saying. Yeah. Like, he doesn't want no straight clause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, dang.
Yeah, and they were probably like, yeah, and it's like a back and forth right now.
Oh, man, that's nasty. Yep.
Yeah.
And good on me. Dewey brain is what happened to me.
Dewey.
Cigarettes and alcohol for 72 straight hours. Speaking of alcohol, Mike Gundy with one of the most jaw-dropping quotes
I'm a man
I have ever heard. That was one of them. He had another one yesterday. We'll let you hear it. We'll react to it. 15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Big 12 Media Days going on in Las Vegas. Ollie Gordon, one of the best players in the country, one of the best running backs in the country, plays for Oklahoma State. He recently got a DUI. Well, Mike Gundy wanted Ollie Gordon at Big 12 Media Day to have to atone, get in front of some cameras, answer some hard questions. Well, then Gundy went ahead and he took the bullet for his guy.
So I looked it up on my phone. What would be the legal limit? Like, in Oklahoma is 0.08, and Ollie was 0.1. So I looked it up, and it was based on body weight. not to get into the legal side of it, but I thought really two or three beers or four. I'm not justifying what Ollie did. I'm telling you what decision I made. Well, I thought I've probably done that 1,000 times in my life.
Oh, man. Like, why would you say that?
When keep it real goes wrong. That's it. That's like, just it. He thought he was coming out and be like, oh, I can justify this. Yeah. I'm going to keep it real with people.
Hold it down for my player.
Yeah.
Nah.
See, the thing is, it kind of, like, how far is Mike Gundy willing to go? Mm-hmm. Like, if Aaron Hernandez was on his team, like, well, once or twice, you just, not, like, what are we doing here? And it doesn't jive with Ollie being there because the reasoning was, well, I want him to atone and explain himself and apologize. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out and he's like, hey, it was no big deal. I've done it 1,000 times. And
then he says what the punishment was, giving the ball 50 times in one game.
Run him till his wheels fall off.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Like, come on, coach.
Yeah, give me the ball 50 times.
Yeah, help me get drafted a little higher and get more, make more money.
Thanks.
Well, maybe he'll have money then for Uber.
Yeah.
That's his atonement.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Gundy's going off cracking wise about the presidential debate. I'm like, this dude is out of his mind.
Out of it.
Have you ever been to Stillwater?
No.
That'll tell you why he's out of his mind.
You spend 20 years there and you start going a little bit.
Yeah, you lose all sense of reality.
Yeah.
Because it's a great college town, great atmosphere for football.
You don't got to do that.
But it's still Stillwater, Oklahoma.
I heard that the sidelines, there like are no sidelines. It's just the white is basically right up against those padded walls.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And Oklahoma, my freshman year, we played at Oklahoma. First game ever at Pitt, I play Oklahoma. And you want to talk about it, it's the same thing. There are 2 yards from the sideline to the stands. And people are just like, where is Pittsburgh? Where is that? We never even heard of that place. Go back. And they thoroughly stomped us. They beat us so bad that they stopped running the wagon. It was like 60 to
something. Oh, my God.
Because it was hot, and they were like, we're going to kill the horses. Yeah.
Because in Vegas right now, it's 120 degrees.
Oh, my God.
So it was like, had to have been 100, because you're talking early season non-conf. Yes. Oh,
and it was one of those, it was old school turf where they had the crown, where I was on the sideline. You could only see the top of the numbers up. You couldn't see anybody's legs over on the Oklahoma. It was, and they were just running that option and running downhill. It was a rude awakening to it.
Couldn't see anybody's legs. Couldn't feel your own. It's no good. All right, Doug. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
No doubt. Next week.
Doran, we did it.
Yep.
One show in the books.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Back tomorrow.
Callus quality stuff. We're back tomorrow. And we'll be talking about the Pirates winning 3 in a row. If they do, I'm coming in a full Pirates uniform. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It's the Chevy Summer Drive at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 89.